We have seen numerous studies in basic science research produce results that surprise the investigator and open up new insights into the pathophysiology or mechanism of diseases. A study published in the July 13th online issue of the Journal of Clinical Investigation found that a protein previously linked to the development of type 2 diabetes and atherosclerosis may be also associated with asthma. And I'm pleased to introduce Dr. Gökhan Hatemişligil, James Stephen Simmons, Professor of Genetics and Metabolism and Chair of the Department of Genetics and Complex Diseases at the Harvard School of Public Health. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon. How are you?
I'm doing very well, thank you. What was the protein that was under investigation?
This is a protein, actually. We're not that good in naming proteins in our field, but this was a protein named AP2. And later, it's also known as a fatty acid binding protein or a lipid binding protein.
What is this protein's specific function and under what conditions is it produced by the body?
Let me give you a little bit history
here
because it's a little interesting. So it's produced in fat cells, and historically we thought it was only produced in fat cells. And there it binds to fatty acid and helps the cell deal with this fat load. Later on, we also discovered this to be present in an immune cell type, a specific immune cell type called macrophage. And these are the scavenger cells which clear up debris and respond to pathogens and foreign objects in the body.
Mm-hmm.
So the main function is actually in these two cells, fat cells and macrophages.
Now, can you describe the scope of your particular study, how it was designed, and what were you measuring in terms of the outcomes?
Well, this specific study that you're referring to is asking whether this protein has a role in asthma. And it was done in experimental model, so it's not a human study yet.
Mm-hmm.
And we are asking whether animals that have this gene versus those that do not differ in the way they handle an allergic signal, particularly delivered to the airway.
And what were the findings?
Well, the findings are actually quite striking that in the absence of this gene, so this is actually one of the interesting parts, the animals actually seem to be resistant to development of asthma. So their lungs appear to be blind to this allergic signal that we're delivering, and they perform far superior in terms of airway disease, in terms of inflammation in their lungs, and overall, very beneficial phenotype.
My understanding, though, is, as you mentioned, that this particular protein has been associated with type 2 diabetes in terms of the development of type 2 diabetes and atherosclerosis or buildup of plaques within the coronary arteries and other arterial systems. How is this linked between then you have the diabetes, potential heart disease, and now asthma, and this protein seem to be involved with each of these particular areas?
Yeah, so I think the basis for that is, you know, these problems, which we now call metabolic disease clusters, they do not come one by one, unfortunately for the recipients. They come as a package. So if you, for example, develop obesity, you develop type 2 diabetes, you're at high risk for cardiovascular disease. So these are the ones we know very well. And then there are a whole bunch of new problems emerging, which involve, for example, increased risk for asthma, increased risk for neurodegenerative diseases, liver problems, even some cancers. So there is actually, so the hypothesis is that they all emerge from a common ground, and this common ground is controlled by, you know, a number of pathways and genes. And the way this particular one actually is acting to control obesity, fatty liver disease, type 2 diabetes, atherosclerosis, and now asthma, gives credence to that idea that there is actually some nasty genetic infrastructure that higher organisms carry,
mm-hmm.
which is not suitable for the current lifestyle.
Well, it also, from reading the report, that these particular mice, these genetically engineered mice,
mm-hmm.
they that didn't produce this particular protein, you couldn't induce diabetes or heart disease or obesity in these mice.
That's correct. And yes, these, I mean, I call them sometimes, metabolically speaking, super mice.
Mm-hmm.
And so the question, of course, is what this gene is good for.
That's right.
And I don't know the answer to that. So far, we haven't actually found anything useful that this gene does, at least in mice that live in very luxurious conditions and controlled environment. So, I mean, there are a couple of ideas that might explain why so, and I'm happy to share them with you if you're interested.
Sure, because it strikes me as you mentioned, why would we have a gene that is wholly created to just cause a particular disease process as opposed to acting in a protective fashion for ourselves?
Yes, so this is probably the way the biological system is organized and evolved over time. And so, I mean, at least my personal opinion mm-hmm. is there are key issues to survival. One is, for example, to be very energy efficient so that you can withstand times of starvation. And you can also, the second one, the very big one, is that you need to be able to respond to pathogens so you survive an infection.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, the third one is reproduction. And so reproduction is very highly coupled to these two. So the body has done everything it can while evolving its systems to preserve these two arms. So it needs to, you know, withstand starvation, beat the bugs, so that the species can continue. But during the selection, of course, it was a short-sighted thinking. It was not, the lifespan was 30 years or below. And all of the problems that I listed for you, at least most of them, emerge in the second part of life, after 30.
Mm-hmm.
So these were advantageous when I think humans were living in the wild, but perhaps no longer advantageous in the absence of that selective pressure.
Now, with this information, what does this imply for clinical trials in humans and possible treatments down the road? If we assume that the mice model does apply to humans, what does this mean for treatment down the road?
Mm-hmm. Well, it might mean a lot. It might mean nothing. It's really difficult to predict that. But on the positive end, I think we have a fairly good amount of evidence that this pathway is relevant to human disease. And there are some, for example, very rare genetic variants in humans which seem to have a very similar phenotype to the animals that we have. So there is some, at least in a very small fraction of humans, there is a proof of principle. And the second good news is that we can actually chemically interfere with the function of this gene.
Mm-hmm.
So that means there's at least a prototypical drug. And so if you put the two together, I mean, there is a hope that it might actually one day turn into a therapeutic. But it's a very long and road full of failures, so it's hard to, you know, be very, very optimistic. But this is as good as things look at the onset.
Now, with that in mind, what other follow-up research are you conducting?
Mm-hmm. So right now, I mean, one of our major efforts is placed into this question that you just asked. And so in addition to genetics, because we cannot do genetic manipulation in humans, so we need to develop some chemical tools, actual compounds that can produce the same effect as a genetic modification. And we have done that. And so we're now asking if in the mice we could produce a similar beneficial trait by just giving these chemicals to the mice. And we're also trying to understand how these proteins work a little bit better at the molecular level, because we still have a lot of gaps in our understanding how a very simple, small chaperone protein can have such enormous impact mm-hmm. on the functioning of the body and the entire body. So this is a very fundamental, exciting question which we're trying to tackle.
Well, Dr. Hota Mishlagil, I'd like to thank you very much for taking the time to discuss your research, and I hope to have you back on in the next next year or two as your research continues to see how this works out.
Oh, thank you very much. It's my pleasure.
All the best.
Same here.